In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us bow our heads, pray a little prayer to the Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Enlighten our minds and inflame our hearts with a greater love for Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, these are very interesting readings that the Church presents to us this Sunday. There's apocalyptic tones in it. We have mention of the angels in the Gospel, St. Michael the Archangel, the first reading. We also have St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, where he refers to the holy sacrifice, the Mass, and Christ's saving sacrifice. But what I'd like to do first, before I get into a couple of those other aspects, is look at Mark chapter 13. So Mark chapter 13 today starts with verse 24, and our Lord is talking about the end of times or the second coming. Now, to get a bigger, broader view of what our Lord is saying, I'm going to base this on everything that he said in Mark 13. It starts with verse 24, but I went back just going through it, and I outlined it, what our Lord was saying, because our Lord is responding to a question of the apostles asking about the second coming and the end of times. So first, so you may want to do this later today, is open up Mark and just read through it. Now, I'm not taking 2 Thessalonians into account or other parts of the Scripture. I thought I'd just focus on Mark 13. There's many things in the Catechism, actually, about this. Now, first part, our Lord says, many will come in my name to lead many astray. Many will come in my name and lead many astray. Now, how many different Christian denominations exist in the world? And some of those Christian denominations even teach homosexuality. That's good. Or abortion and these other things, contrary to the Scripture. So we know from Scripture, from our Lord's very lips, that he established one church. And he said, my church. It's always in the singular. And he said, Peter, to you I give the keys. So what happened in the history of the church, starting with Martin Luther, when he had broken off, then all these other groups started breaking off, even from him, and then further separation, where you had like 50, 60,000 different Christian denominations. What happens, they get further and further away from the fullness of truth. The full Scriptures, all the sacraments, whatnot, they get further away. So our Lord says, many will come, lead many astray, further and further away from the truth. Second, our Lord says, what you can expect, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and nations against nations. So all this conflict. See, when a man's heart is not at peace with God, it's not at peace with himself nor with his neighbor, and it's manifest, as St. James says, by war. Then our Lord said, there will be earthquakes in various places and famines. He said there's going to be many, many natural tribulations. In those days, there will be such tribulations, these are our Lord's words, as has not been from the beginning of creation. So there will be natural disasters that have been present at a scale never seen before in mankind. Four, our Lord said, my followers, those who are faithful to me, what will happen? They'll be beaten. They'll stand before governors and kings. They'll bring you to trial. They will deliver you up. But our Lord said, do not be anxious. And our Lord also said, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. So the closer we are to the Lord, trying to be as faithful as we can, not compromising this and everything like that, our Lord said there will be difficulties. And then our Lord says, finally, before second coming, fifth, the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Now we can interpret that several ways. One, some people say, well, through EWTN and radio and television, the gospel message is spread throughout the world. John Paul II said February of 2001 that he had made just 44 new cardinals at the time, that now all the different nations of the world, I guess, had a cardinal, so he thought that was a fulfillment of this. But we're not sure what God was saying. Then finally, at the end of Mark 13, our Lord talks about the tribulation at the very end, the darkening of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay? Now some of this stuff sounds difficult, but in today's office of readings, St. Augustine says this, do you fear the second coming? And then he asks, where is your love? Where is your love? He says, if we love Jesus Christ, and I'm going to use Eucharistic Prayer 3 today at Mass, you'll see it. We long for our Lord's second coming. He says, where is your love? That's really good. Like, why should we fear death? If we love Jesus Christ, and now we're about to have this encounter with him, this faith to faith, nothing to fear. Obviously, he says, but if we love our sins more, then fear will enter the heart. So we're striving during the course of our life to love Christ more and more. And our Lord loves us so much. But he gives us so many wonderful, powerful spiritual aids and tools, sacraments to help us make it to the kingdom of heaven. And I'll talk just a second about the Mass and look at the angels here that are presented in today's reading. We have St. Paul, his letter to the Hebrews, and he talks about Christ's saving sacrifice. His saving sacrifice, what he did for you and I, for our sins. He says, "For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated." You see how it's written there? Those who are being consecrated. In other words, when Christ died on the cross, it's not done there. And Christ, for Christ's part, it's done. But there's still work that has to be done on our side. Being consecrated, being fully given, surrendered over to Jesus Christ. Now, we receive tremendous graces through prayer and through the Mass, through the sacraments. But to the degree that our soul is disposed of receiving them. So if you have different sins in our life, those are blocked. And God fully can't get in there with his grace, because he respects our free will, to transform us to be like Jesus Christ. Someone could come to Mass, their heart could be so full of surrender to God, totally, that they receive this grace where it does, where someone else may just get a little trickle. Some people receive like a notion, some a trickle. So every time we come to Mass, we're supposed to die more and more to self. Now a little explanation here from our Catholic faith. St. Paul says Christ once offered the sacrifice, one time. But we as Catholics, we believe through faith that every Mass is the same Mass on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Jesus' same saving sacrifice, but is made present here now through time and space, where he offers up the wounds anew to the Father, saying, "Father, see how much I love them," to give us an opportunity to be present at Calvary. Okay? So in our daily prayer life, it's so important. Lord, what am I doing in my life or not doing that's preventing you from totally consecrating me, totally transforming me? Okay? Next prayer, something that can help us on our journey. The angels. Our Lord talked about his second coming, but he talked about the role of the angels. With great power, he will send out his angels to gather all the elect. So it's very important to have a friendship with the angels. And then the prophet Daniel talked about the prince of the whole heavenly host, St. Michael. At that time, there shall rise Michael, the great prince and guardian of the people. So it's important to have a devotion to him. Now, I have this wonderful book from Mike Aquilino. He's been on EWTN. He's an author of a number of books, a great Catholic apologist. In his book on the angels of God, based on the scriptures and the church, the heavenly host, he says this, and these are real simple terms that we can take to our daily life. He said, one, do you sincerely want to do the right thing? He said, when you sincerely want to do the right thing, it's that angels can help us. Call upon their aid. They see more clearly the path God wants you to go. And then he said, just remembering our guardian angels, just remembering that they're present at your side, is a good way to keep yourselves on the right path. If you realize that someone's there watching you, who is with you, you're going to be less likely to do things that are sinful. He said, our angels can help us immensely in the everyday life. He said, if you're a parent, you could pray to the guardian angels of your children. Ask them extra help to keep your children safe. Or let's say the husband and wife get into a little spat. You could pray to each other's guardian angel to help bring reconciliation to you. Or maybe you're at work. Your boss never understands you. Pray to the guardian angel of your boss. Ask the guardian angel to help to communicate your situation. Or vice versa, if you're the employee. Or an adversary, some enemy, or somebody you don't get along with. Pray to their guardian angel. And really, really, and there's books written by, about the popes and the devotion of the angels. Now, it goes on. It says, the main thing, and the scriptures present to angels from Genesis to Revelation, it comes up frequently, hundreds of times. The main thing, he says, is to be aware of the angels around you. And to get in the habit of calling upon them for little favors. He's to get in that habit. Because what happens, it raises our mind then to think the things of heaven and eternity, rather than being stuck down here in this realm of time and space is going to pass away. Invoke them silently when you begin a conversation. Invoke them silently when you're about to call someone. Invoke them when you're sending a text message or an email or when you have a communication with other people. And don't stop asking the angels to keep you safe and healthy. You get in the car. Guardian angel, please keep me safe as I drive. When a parent tells me, Father, my son just got his driver's license, or my daughter's got her driver's license, I always say, hey, pray to your guardian angel every time you get into the car to keep you safe. Now, it just goes on, but it says grace builds on nature. So if we're everything that we're doing, if we're asking the angels to help us, they will be there. Now our Lord says this in the Gospels, and I was looking at 2 Peter. Don't be anxious, but trust. Some people look, and we can all fall into this, we look out at the world and we see so many things that are an abomination to the Lord are legalized. We get downhearted because things aren't the way that the Lord would like them to be. And we see people transgressing God's law. But our Lord says, don't get anxious. He says, focus on me. Now, I've been a priest close to 10 years, and the number one, the biggest hindrance to growing in sanctity, growing in love of God, is this lack of trust. I see it time and time again, lack of trust. When we look at these readings from Mark, what we could do if we get too much into it, we start looking for all this stuff towards the future, and we forget we can't serve God there because we're not there. We're right here, right now. If we're at this point in time, we can only serve God here. The past, we entrust His mercy. The future, we trust will be there. But right here, right now, we have to trust. No matter what situation we find ourselves, what difficulties, what health situations, financial difficulties, whatever it may be, we can only serve God in the here and now. And so, St. Peter, I was looking at 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, so beloved, while waiting for this, make every effort be found without stain or defilement. So he said, make sure you live in a state of grace. Go to confession. Don't be caught in mortal sin. And be at peace in his sight. And be at peace. So the readings here today tell us that our Lord, there is a second coming. There is a general judgment. But we should be looking forward to it if we're living in a state of sanctifying grace. And the Lord gives us the Mass to help us. He gives us confession. And he gives us our guardian angels. And one last explanation is here at the end. Someone had asked me, Father, our Lord says heaven and earth will pass away. What's going on there? Well, we look at all of Scripture put together. We get further explanations, and Scripture says a new heaven and a new earth. So heaven, in a sense, right now will pass away because right now our body's up in heaven. Our Lord is, and the Blessed Mother. But what's going to happen at the end of time, the souls, the elect, will be united to the bodies, and then heaven will be transformed. It's going to look different because the human bodies will be, then the earth too is going to be transformed. There's not going to be any ugliness, any sin, or anything contrary to God's will. It's going to be transformed in His grace. So let's bow our heads. I guess a little prayer we're going to use for the angels here. Almighty eternal God, in your ineffable goodness, you have assigned a special angel to all men from the womb onwards as a protection for body and soul. Graciously grant that I may follow my holy angel so faithfully and love him so dearly that through your grace and under his protection, I may one day reach the Heavenly Father's house and may merit to behold your divine countenance together with him and all the holy angels through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.